What up? What up? Don't go anywhere. Or if you're coming in now, stay here. We want you all here. It might just be me, but as you're coming over from Mincha's show, or if you're tuning into this later, y'all, welcome into Benzinga Cannabis Insider. We are going to dive into stocks today. We're going to get to some news here. Tons happening on the front of cannabis legislatively. We have multiple states, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and I think Arkansas, all turning in signatures to put marijuana on the ballot this November. It is an active Thursday. I think Nebraska looking for around 5,000 more signatures. Arkansas turning in double the amount needed. And Oklahoma, I think, is just, you know, they're doing what they need to do as well. So we are getting tons of movement there. Six Democratic senators. You have Booker, Wyden, there was Sanders, Warren, and two others sent a letter to the Biden administration, to Merrick Garland, to the HHS secretary, Javier Becerra, basically saying, you're sucking it up, y'all. Do something about cannabis. We have other Democratic senators that are losing steam. Lord Byron, what up, brother? I hope you are well. Drop your cannabis stocks in the chat. We're going to go through a few here on Benzinga Pro in this episode shortly. If you are tuning in on a podcast after the fact, you can always see the video on YouTube, but we'll be sure to digest audibly what we're diving into here. But welcome in. Drop your cannabis stocks in the chat. And then we will get going. Javier has abandoned me once again. That's fine. We don't need him. I get to chill with you all. AT is in the background. We're going to keep it up. But as I was saying, six Democratic senators, those are Warren, Sanders, Booker, Wyden, Markey, and Gillibrand, all are sending a letter. They are unhappy with both the DOJ, unhappy with the HHS, and unhappy with the Biden administration. But they're also saying the DOJ can choose to act if it wants to deschedule and or lower the schedule without the HHS, but they are choosing not to. So we will see how this plays out. Obviously, a ton of news with Brittany Griner. A couple of announcements for next week. We're going to have a very legislative week. So on Tuesday, we're bringing in Brady Cobb, a lobbyist for cannabis, to come chat with us again in all things legislation, what's going on Capitol Hill, what bills are actually real, what could be combined in Schumer, is anything going to happen? So we're going to chat with Brady about that. And then on Thursday, we have a special panel for you guys. Javier and I are joining forces with the CFCR and Sarah Chase, who has also been on this channel before. And we're going to have U.S. Representative Mast on from Florida, a Republican from Florida. We're going to be chatting about medical cannabis and American veterans and creating access for it. So they're going to be joining us. IAVA is going to be joining us, or the IAVA. I am thrilled to bring this content to this channel. And this is the first time that Cannabis Insider will feature a U.S. cannabis or U.S. congressperson. So it's going to be awesome. Hope you guys will tune in for that next Thursday at 4 ET. Next Tuesday is lobbyist and Sunburn Cannabis founder, CEO, Brady Cobb. Fetterman is about as pro-weed as it gets. Absolutely. We need to elect John Fetterman in Pennsylvania if we want another pro-cannabis senator. Could not agree with you more. He has been loud and proud and, most of all, consistent about what he believes with cannabis. And I don't know if you saw, but I think his Democratic or Republican opponent also came out pro-cannabis. Looked to me as an attempt to try and diminish his stance on it. Didn't work as far as I'm concerned. John Fetterman for sure is the way to go there. So another thing that's happening right now. So we know the tragedies of all these mass shooters and everything that's happening recently. Fox News is once again coming out with this pot psychosis theory that is somehow affecting the, and it's a part of the upbringing that is affecting these tragedies. I find this to be a very uneducated stance, but it is something as a business that cannabis should be paying attention to and not ignoring. Fox News has a heavy sway over sentiment in this country, as do other sites. Wall Street Journal is another one that sometimes pushes this narrative. And if they sway enough sentiment, it is easily blocking a federal move, in my opinion, as really this is in the hands of the Republicans because Democrats choose not to do anything about cannabis. So hopefully people like Fetterman can change that. But right now we have been SOL as an industry in that sense. A couple other things, y'all. High Tide, just acquiring everything. They're up to, I think, the mid-130s in terms of dispensaries opened in Canada. And Leafly, that's a NASDAQ-listed LFLY. Ooh, look at those shares. Actually, no, stay there, Aaron. This is great. 8.61%. High Tide moved a good bit today. High Tide is, they're a massive retail footprint. They have some technology behind that as well in Canada. They have ancillary products, aka bongs, aka consumer tech kind of, just consumption devices, right? They have that in the US and CBD as in Europe, and I believe Latin America could be as well, but they are a massive international company that should not be forgotten about. And to me, they perform as well a lot of times as the other international companies, thinking Curaleaf International, thinking Tilray, thinking Canopy Growth. I mean, High Tide continually moves in a positive direction in my mind, and I think consumer sentiment is on my side today when saying that. So don't forget about High Tide. Let's take a look, though, at how the industry is doing overall. Can we pull up MSOS, Aaron? This is the ETF for the U.S. operators. MSOs are multi-state operators, if you are unfamiliar. And this is their ETF. Their holdings are consistent of a lot of the U.S. cannabis corporations, if you will. So this is showing how that's moving. This is one day. Aaron, let's move to 5 day. This is trending very, very nicely right now. Let's go to 1 month, if you don't mind. So right there, you see the bounce back. This to me is it's a rebound. It was coming. What they do now, they hit that resistance level to the left there. What they do now is going to be super interesting. Let's look at it. Let's pull up GTBIF. So this, if you all are not familiar, one of the best balance sheets in cannabis with their cash on hand, with just how secure they are in their financial position as a company, this company probably takes the cake for the best in cannabis, at least in the US. So if you look at this, they're so undervalued, it's not even funny. Lord Byron, no financial advice here, but I can't just on a personal level say that that sounds like a bad idea. But I think if you're looking at value options and value industries, cannabis has to be considered. So with that being said, they are also trending well in the MSOS. And you're also a consumer. I love it. And honestly, that is a great testament to the cannabis industry. Consumers can become shareholders and vice versa. There is a massive opportunity there. That's actually a great note. Thank you for that. Let's look at another side, though. Let's look at a step down, Jushi, J-U-S-H-F. So this is an OTC listed stock as well, but they are a very clean operator. They have operations in Pennsylvania. They do a lot in Pennsylvania. They have a small following in Virginia, California, and a few other states. But when this company chooses a new retail opening, and they get that up after the 12-month run rate, it always adds so much to their bottom line. So whenever this company makes moves, I pay attention. They're a watch lister for me no matter what. But that being said, they're following that same trend we saw with Green Thumb Industries. Let's look at one more MSO. Let's do another bigger one, TCNNF, Trulieve. We all know Trulieve. So they're not quite following the same trend today. But that being said, the same trend over the last 5 days, you do see it moving there. Aaron, let's look at the 1 day. Yeah, so they have had a little bit of a fall down today in comparison to their peers. But that being said, they did just open a West Virginia dispensary, a Hurricane West Virginia dispensary, medically focused, of course, in that state. And I think the sentiment is generally positive for from everything I've seen on social, from everything I've seen. This is really the one negative potential sentiment that I have seen. So we've checked out some MSOs. We checked out the MSO ETF. Let's jump back to a few other international stocks. Tilray. We'll start with Tilray, and then we'll do a little canopy. And then we're going to jump into one ancillary play. If you guys want us to check out anything else, drop it in the chat. But Tilray, I thought this was interesting, mimics a little bit of the MSOS play. Can we do the 5-day, Aaron? So you see how this mimics it. This is moving on a good bit of U.S. news. And these stocks tend to do that because they are investable by more in the U.S. being a NASDAQ-listed entity. Although I think we have a mistake there. I'm not going to point that out. So y'all see how this moves. Once legalization happens, to Lord Byron's knowledge, to everybody in cannabis, to their knowledge, this stock will move less on U.S. news until it jumps into the space here. But until then, it is something to watch. Whenever something major happens in the industry, people are, for right or for wrong, investing in stocks like Tilray. Let's skip Canopy. We've talked about Canopy a lot over the last 2 weeks. Let's go straight to MAPS. M-A-P-S. Yeah, this is following that same trend. But to me, this is one of the darlings of cannabis stocks right now. They are a massive e-commerce, massive data play, content play. They are a fantastic cannabis stock, I think. And they are here to stay at a massive extent. Their main competitor being Leafly, a smaller competitor being Nuggle. There are a few others you could look at, but Weedmaps continues to lead the way. And as cannabis sentiment goes, Weedmaps follows. So you got to take a look at this. All right, y'all. I don't see any other stocks in the chat. So let us hop off this here. And one more bit of news before we throw it to one of our final interviews, a major private company, Theory Wellness, from Massachusetts. Probably one of the most secure companies I think I've ever spoken to, or at least spoken to during this bear market. They are living and thriving, y'all. We talked to their CMO at MJ Unpacked, and we say one of the best interviews for last, as we are almost through with those. So we're going to throw it to that soon. But last but not least, let us do a few plugs. Subscribe to our newsletter, Cannabis Daily, every day around noon. We'll come out and give you updates. You can hit that on benzinga.com/cannabis. There is a box in the corner to subscribe. Again, there, thank you, Aaron. benzinga.com/cannabis and bzcannabis.com. Tons of politicians, celebrities, all of the major decision makers in cannabis are at our Chicago event in September. Make sure you guys are there as well. With that being said, Lord Byron, much appreciate the hanging out in the chat. Don't forget, next week is a huge week of cannabis shows for us right here, Brady Cobb. We will have, I believe, Fluence, a major lighting company that was recently acquired by a huge international hydroponics company. And then on Thursday, a panel discussing the importance of medical marijuana and access for veterans with U.S. Representative Thomas Mast from Florida. Super, super excited for next week. With that being said, we will see you guys again on Tuesday. Today's Thursday. Tune into this. I'll be in the chat. Let me know what you think. We'll chat with you soon. All right, y'all. Welcome back. Day two, MJ Unpacked. Killer event. Meeting some cool people. We have Thomas Winstanley, CMO. That is Chief Marketing Officer of Theory Wellness. What's up, man?
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah.
I like your view. You've got a great view of the floor.
Damn. We are people watching like crazy up here. Between these shoots, you guys don't know what we're saying. Just kidding. We were just gossiping about you. Tell us about Theory Wellness. It's going to be educational for all of us.
Yeah. So we're a vertically integrated company between Mass and Maine. We have six retail stores. We started in Massachusetts on the medical front. And then, you know, in the last kind of 4 years, we've grown pretty significantly. And, you know, amidst that time, we have all product categories represented through our stores, through Theory branding. And then we also run an infused beverage line, too, called High Five that... Nice. Is also available in both markets, and we're independently owned and operating, and pretty much running like a startup these days. Still, 4 years later.
You know, honestly, we're a 10-year-old media company. We can relate. yeah. But, you know, as it goes, man, let's talk about Massachusetts a little bit. There's some news that came out recently. $3 billion since they went fully legal, right?
Yeah.
I think a billion of that in the last 8 months. To me, they are outperforming the growth of newer markets like a Michigan and Illinois because of how they're rolling out these dispensaries.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that as to like why that may be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're seeing a very heavy increase in the number of dispensaries, the number of manufacturers, and also I think the number of products too are growing. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that too, you know, there's some downward pressure on pricing, which I think makes it more accessible. There's a 20% sales tax, and so, you know, it's not cheap, but the prices are coming down. And I think that makes some accessibility to consumers who may not have wanted to shop previously. And, you know, we're still the only, you know, aside from Maine, there's not a lot of rec markets out here still. There are more coming online. So certainly it's an interesting time for Massachusetts.
And, you know, with the Massachusetts layout of dispensaries, it seems that they are geographically not too close together.
Right.
As they roll out new dispensaries, does that create a downside for maybe one of the smaller operators outside of maybe like a Tilt or a Revolution?
Yeah. I mean, it is getting more competitive. And, you know, previously, I actually think it's consolidating more. So, you know, Great Barrington, where our, you know, one of our main stores is, there are now 5 dispensaries in a town of 8,000 people. And so competition is increasing. And I think ultimately, though, you know, your operations can succeed and can compete if you think be very thoughtful about the operation you want to run and how you want to be perceived in the marketplace. And it's also a net benefit for the consumers because competition is good. Competition challenges people to do better. It challenges people to find ways to connect with their consumers. And I really think that, you know, people will shop pricing, but they'll also shop brands and experience. And so finding the balance in that is really, you know, I think is a good thing for the industry as a whole, where it's not just open a shop and just make money. It's no, open a shop, build a brand, build an experience, think that experience through, and the consumers will follow if you do that well.
That's interesting, man. So you're marketing, you're talking about brands. We're at a brand-driven show here.
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
You know, let's talk about how you approach brands in different markets.
Sure.
You know, given that you're in two very specific ones, honestly, we don't hear a lot about Maine.
Yeah.
So how do you approach taking your brand from Massachusetts to a state like Maine, where really you're introducing the industry, I think, to an extent?
Yeah, and honestly, we don't really shift too much about the brand presence going into a new market. We may, you know, message it slightly different, but really, theory as a whole, as a brand, we're going to be consistent, and that's part of the discipline that we have, especially in our marketing department, is if you were to go to our store in Portland or our store in Chicopee, you're going to have a very similar experience. You're going to see a lot of similar products. A lot of the drift comes in, you know, the genetics we're choosing, and, you know, there are certain products that are available in one place and not another. And so, you know, for us, really, our focus is we don't compete with other brands. We compete with ourselves. Oh, there's a gong. Something important is happening.
Somebody
here
made some business. Apparently, that's what that means. So props to the cannabis industry for expanding.
Wait, is that really what
it is? I think so, to my knowledge.
So
people get very excited.
That is hilarious,
actually.
Yeah, that's
great. So I'm glad you all were able to experience that with us.
Wow, I just learned something new.
That, to my knowledge, that's what that means. But so with Maine, let's talk about Maine a little bit. What's the market like there?
It's an interesting market. So the caregiver market, so the medical market, the caregiver side of things is really strong. I mean, that's a strong market. And I think pound for pound, they are producing some of the best cannabis in the country, those medical growers.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, going into a marketplace that has an existing medical program definitely changes the landscape, especially when it comes to kind of adapting into a regulated market with metric and all of these things that didn't exist previously. And so it's interesting because the market is still maturing. You know, Massachusetts is a mature market, I would say, at this point. I think Maine still has some room to grow, and I think there's going to be an interesting kind of, I think there's going to be a shift around, you know, the way that consumers start to interact. Because right now, it's a lot of, we have a lot of tourists who come through, we have some locals, but, you know, I think over time, people are going to get more comfortable with going to a rec dispensary versus, you know, getting cannabis from their friends or from caregivers, something off the table. So it's been an interesting market. It's only been our second market, so we haven't seen a ton of what that looks like going into a new market. But we were opened on the first day of sales, and it's been incredible to see how that market is also now growing fast.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's a reciprocity, too, for med patients in Massachusetts to go to Maine and buy in the caregiver market, which is interesting because it's not, there's no reciprocation in Massachusetts for med patients. So, again, all these markets shaping up are, you know, they're so different and they're so individualized that, you know, they're all going to have their own flavor and personality. And, you know, it's great to see the diversity because I don't think we see that as much anymore in, you know, at a California market or a Colorado market or somewhere that's been really mature.
Well, let's chat about a little bit. Let's kind of wrap up here with a little bit more about your focus being brands, marketing, theory, wellness. How are you approaching this? I mean, we're still not able to do as much marketing as a normalized industry. What are you doing different, you know, in your 101 brands play?
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to get better and we're trying to make really, really fun products that don't exist. So, you know, we just launched today is the first day it's available for consumers is an energy drink, a High Five energy drink, which
nice.
You know, there are energy drinks out there, but this one is a little bit of a game changer, I think, for the Massachusetts market, for the East Coast market. And really, we try to build brands that are capable of doing fun things and cool things and different things. And, you know, the idea of what our brand is literally changing dynamically day by day based on innovation, based on advancements, and also based on consumer preferences.
That's interesting.
And so, you know, our brand is very everything but static, and where we focus is to create products that align with kind of our trajectory of where we want to go. And on the marketing front, that makes it easy to market.
Yeah, awesome. This is Thomas Winstanley, CMO of Theory Wellness. Ton more I want to chat about M&A 2022, what's going on, and new expansion, new markets. But I think I owe him another conversation for all of that. Thanks for joining us here.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course.